Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Morning, everyone. Welcome online. Great to have you join us this morning for a beautiful, almost spring September. Isn't it awesome? Who enjoyed the sun yesterday? Who sat in the sun? Absolutely beautiful day today. Well, we're going to get right into it this morning, talking about God's kingdom, our last little message on first. It's been such an exciting series, just teasing out what happens when you put God first in life. And I hope you've tested that. I hope you've tried some things. You know, what does it mean to put God first in relationships? Maybe what's happened to the relationships in your world? When you put God first in your dreams and plans for the future, what happens to those? You're putting your life into safe hands. And I really encourage you to flick back over some of these messages and put them into place and see what actually happens in your world. But here's a different message this morning as we wrap things up. I'd like to end with just something different because it's all about me sometimes. You ever feel that? Like sometimes we just think even God is all about me. But he loves us dearly, but it's not all about me. You know that? It's like kids. My kids aren't in the room this morning. I can talk about them. They're probably watching online. But, you know, when kids come into your world that you feel like, oh, yeah, I do have one. Morning, Sam. When kids come into your world, I mean, you love them dearly, but sometimes that the kids think that life is all about them, but it's actually not. And you've got to train your kids to realize they're part of a family. You know, you're part of the bigger deal, the bigger picture here. That what's going on? It doesn't just revolve around a child. We've got other things in to go. But so this message is about, how do we see God's kingdom come here on planet Earth? Let me take you back. A few months ago, I was camping with my kids. I do have them. And we'd ridden up this sort of mountain pass, and we're having lunch on this rock, sort of in the Blue Mountains area. And I looked up, sitting on this rock, and I looked up, and I saw this sight that took me back. Let's throw the picture up. There's this tree. This tree, this is the actual tree that I saw when it comes up. It's called an angophora. It's one of the most beautiful trees that you'll see around the Sydney area. And we were sitting on this rock, pretty nice spot to be, hey? And looking up, and this tree has a magnificent, beautiful branch. The kind of branches that sort of go everywhere. They do all kinds of things, and depending on how it's shaped and what's around it, one of the most beautiful trees that you'll find. And as I gazed up into this tree, I said to the kids, I said, let me share you a story, kids. And they groaned. I said, you mean 2 centuries ago? I said, well, way back when I was a student in Canberra studying, I was studying a unit called dendrology. There is such a thing. It's the study of trees. And I did a whole unit on exploring different kinds of plants and trees and things like that. And I was so passionate about these things that I started growing them in my little unit where I studied. Here's a picture of it. These are actual gum trees. They're not other sorts of plants I was growing. But here's a little picture of my room and how I had little spots around on the side where I'd actually find seedlings in the local botanic gardens. And I'd grow them in my room. I was so in love with these trees that I'd plant them in my room. You can see some fun things. And that's what it is. That is an angophora seedling. Right? You can see the little seed cone it's come out of. And they emerge out of there. There's probably, I don't know, 20 little seedlings in that little pot. And I grew them up into these beautiful trees. And what they become are these massive, massive, beautiful angophora trees from this tiny, tiny seed. Now, how is that possible? And what has God got to say about that? Well, you probably know that there's lots. That from the tiniest seed, the biggest things can grow and take off. In Luke 13, Jesus says, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it?" He said, "It's like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree." Let's translate that to Australian. It's like an Angophora seedling that you put into the little soil, and then you put it in the right environment, and it grows and it grows and it grows until it becomes a mighty tree. He said, that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's a seed that takes off. And what it does is it starts to shelter the birds and the animals and the things, and perhaps some of the things that would have tried to take it away. But here's the question. What I thought about, because none of my little seedlings actually survived, because I've never lived in a place where those things actually grow so well. But what would it take to have a seed that survives and thrives? And how can we cause little outbreaks of the kingdom of God? We talk about seeking God's kingdom first. Well, what does it actually look like? And could I cause a seed to grow into a mighty tree in the people around me, in the context, in the city that I live, in the places that I work? I wonder what that could look like. Well, come with me to Acts chapter 3. Here's a story of Peter, who was a seed sower. He was a guy who liked sowing seeds. Let's read the story. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. I'd imagine that this is a normal thing for them to do. They're good Jewish boys. They're going to a regular thing to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. This is not an extraordinary day. This is just a normal day where he's walking past. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. And each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. See, this man said every day they brought him to the temple. Back those days, there's no social security, there's no job keeper, job seeker, none of that. It's just you have to beg. And because that was part of the system, they would give to the poor. It was just, and so they sat outside the temple, and I reckon that every day Peter and John would have walked past him. You know, let's call him Bob. Morning, Bob. Good to see you. Here's some coins. Off they go. Oh, that's the kind of thing that they would have done. Hey, Bob, good to see you. How you going today? God bless you. And off they go. A normal, regular day. But this day is different because something happened. You see now when he saw Peter about to enter, he asked him for some money. Peter looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." And I bet maybe Peter's going, "Oh, no. Never had that experience. Forgot my wallet. No coins, no pay pass, nothing." And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." That's a seed. It's a kingdom seed. It's like, let's give this a go. Here's Bob. He's been sitting down forever, begging. Peter goes, "I wonder what would happen if. I'm out of money. Nothing to give this guy, but silver and gold, I don't have, but what I do have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." It's a seed. Like it's what, how long would that take? 30 seconds? It's just a little moment of his day, but something incredible happens from that one little thought. Maybe I could just throw down a kingdom seed right here, and he does. And Peter, I love this. I should do this with Peter here. Peter grabbed him. He didn't just say, now stand up, Peter. He grabs him and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Like, so as he's grabbed, everything gets healed. And it's like, I can walk. I can do it. And he jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking and leaping, praising God, he went into the temple with them. And this is an extraordinary thing. Like, he's doing the Toyota ad thing, you know. He's got, what a feeling, and jumping. And the crowd are looking at him. You know, something incredible has happened. It's a kingdom seed that Peter's thrown down. He hasn't just walked past today. He hasn't just given him some money. He's given him what he's got inside of him, which is kingdom life. And all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. I reckon it would have been loud. Yes, I can walk. He would have been screaming around, showing people things. This wouldn't have been this is fantastic. Look at that, I can walk. It's cool. See ya. My man, it says he's leaping around and praising God. And when they realized that he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. Now the crowd's astounded. This is incredible. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, this part of the temple, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. An incredible day has just happened. Something amazing has just gone on because Peter threw down a seed, a mustard seed, an angophora seed, and he planted it in soil, and pretty quickly, this thing started to grow and take off. But Peter didn't stop there. This is what I love about this passage, Acts 3 and 4. I'm just rushing over it, you know, but take some time this week to look at it. You see, Peter poured water on this seed. He didn't just do something and then walk away. Look at what happens in chapter 3, verse 12. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People are crowding around. People have seen this miracle. And he stands up and he says, hey, crowd, people of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? And then he starts sharing all through this chapter about how Jesus came and how he was killed and how the Jewish people put him to death and how it all came through like that. And he tells the history and the story, but there is opposition. Actually, thousands of people come to faith right then. This is added to about 5,000 people were in the group, the early church, just through that story. But of course, there's the naysayers. There's the seed blockers, let's call them. Did you see the angophora tree, how the branches kind of go like this? Have you ever seen a tree that sort of goes a direction and then it goes like that because there's something in its road? It could be a rock or it could be another tree. And sometimes you get interesting tree shapes because branches have to move around. Well, that's what happens. Sometimes there are kingdom blockers that the tree has to grow around. There's people who stand in the way of the kingdom or try. They think they can stop it and slow it down, but all that happens is it just causes the tree to grow somewhere else and usually faster and bigger at the same time. So while Peter and John, this is Acts 4 verse 1, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These are the rulers, the leaders of the day. They were very disturbed, it says, that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is resurrection of the dead. They were very upset because this myth, this Jesus myth, starts to become real. They tried to hose it down. They tried to stage it so that Jesus would be disappeared, but Jesus rose from the dead. And the power of Jesus went into his people, and this thing is unstoppable. They arrested them. And since it was already evening, they put them in jail to the morning. Really? Put in jail for healing someone? arrested for helping somebody? It's madness. It's the religious set. It's the fun police. It's those feeling threatened by an uprising they can't control. They want to put it back in its box, but tell you, Jesus is out of his box. He's out of his grave, and he's started to come into his people, his followers, who just start to realize the kingdom seed that's inside of them. And if only they could just put down some seeds as they walk along their day, amazing things might just start happening. They just started to realize the power of Jesus inside of them. There's a trial that ensues. It's very funny reading because they sternly warn them not to teach again in Jesus' name. And Peter and John just look at each other. Okay, you know, and they say, like, you know, whether it's up to you or God, like, you know, we're not going to listen to you. We're going to listen to God. We're not listening to just what your advice is. And even though they sternly warn them not to speak again in Jesus' name, they just shrug it off. They go, well, we've just got to do what we've got to do. And then Peter continues to throw water on his seed. This thing is out of control. It's bubbling along. In Acts 4, verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, we are being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man." Is that the deal? "Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to you all and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead." The leading priests try to stop them. But that's not all. So he's full of the Holy Spirit. He's on a roll from this one little casual glance at a guy and says, "Hey, get up and walk." This thing's escalated. They've been in jail, huge court case. People are all over the world, just all over the city looking at them. And then the final bit of water that they go on this seed is in Acts 4:29. He goes back, gets released from jail, goes back to his friends, and he's telling them about all that happened. He says, "Now, O Lord, hear their threats. And give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." He prays for boldness. He prays for the group around them to go, you know what? This miracle just happened, but we need boldness because there's clearly opposition to what's going on. But we need boldness. It's a dangerous prayer to pray. And he says, let's have miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of Jesus. Just like that song we've been singing just then. Sickness, things fall down. But 31 says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. They've been pushed into a corner. They've realized the power that's inside of them. It's not their own power. It's Jesus living in them. And they start to realize that they need great boldness. And so they pray for boldness. And they pray for Holy Spirit. They pray for the sense of God to come in them. And the Holy Spirit comes, literally shakes the building. Power of God comes in, and then this revival is sparked. From one seed. From one little act of kindness. One chance at blessing someone on a routine trip to the temple. How was your trip to church this morning? Like, you ever think about that? Sometimes I think we get so routined and late and rushed and agendered, and for guys particularly, probably just focused on one thing at a time. Not very good at multitasking. I've just got to get to church. I wonder if we could just be a little bit more interruptible. I wonder if on our walk, on our way, in the shops, stop to talk, even to pray for someone. I wonder what that would look like for us, a kingdom seed that just this tiny, tiny thing, faith the size of a mustard seed. Jesus said, that's all you need. That's all you need. Just this little seed. So I started thinking, what would it be in our life to sow a kingdom seed? It is to stop and pray for someone. It might be in your world. It might just be in your family, the people you live with. Someone's complaining of a sore something or a head or, hey, let's just pray. Let's just stop and pray. You just might fix their headache. You just might change something. It's to slow down. It's to notice people. It's to take time to see what is God directing. Remember the message I shared just on that God leads us and guides us? That voice hears behind it. And we might just hear the Holy Spirit go, just step out this way a little. And there's someone that just needs some help right now. You think, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Or just to sit with someone and understand them, listen to someone. Sometimes just listening to people, pausing, stopping. That's a kingdom seed right there. Understanding someone. Not all about my agenda, but tell me what you're going through right now. Start small. Being generous to someone. Just a moment, just a little gift, just a little thought, just a text message, just a phone call. Just some way of connecting with someone. What if we took some time each week just to pray through the people in our world and let God speak to us about that person? Here's a verse of encouragement for that person. Or here's just some insight into what they're going through right now. And you could just change their world by picking up the phone. Say, hey, I was praying for you this morning. And, you know, just felt like God encouraged you. Generosity. I loved C3 Cares yesterday. We can't meet yet, but we can hand out food and hampers. So we drove around in lots of cars, and just arriving on a doorstep with a bag of food. Hey, I've been thinking of you. Hey, this is from church. We can't meet together and eat together and C3 Cares, but we're still in your world. And man, when you walk into someone's context and you realize what people are going through, it causes you to pray. Here's a challenge. In your life groups this week, we're going to share about this. Maybe it's Wednesday or Thursday. You've got a few days to get a story of a kingdom seed. Now, you may not spark worldwide revival like Peter. And that was amazing. Maybe you will. But you might just bless somebody. You might see someone healed. You might just understand someone. You might just connect with someone. You might just show Jesus' love with them. I wonder what would happen if you did that. In the next few days, just go, God, I just want one. I'm going to put down one kingdom seed and see if that thing grows into this mighty tree. I'm just going to, one opportunity. Just one little thing. And I reckon Peter just took it. He didn't stand there going, oh, Bob, I really should pray for him. Oh, but I'm kind of late for the temple. Who's been like that? Just do it. Just do it. Hey, Bob, great. Get up and walk. Let's be radical. Let's see what happens. We're going to pray. Two prayers. I'll get the musicians to come up and just pray a few things. There's two prayers in what I've said. One prayer is God actually asked us to pray for his kingdom to come in Luke 11. Pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. That's what it means, God's kingdom. It's the rule and reign of Christ here on the planet.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.